Hey there, it's Vicky here from Online Marketing Basics for Busy Website Owners, and welcome to this episode of the podcast where I'm going to take you on a little bit of a history lesson and explain to you why Google's next big update to its search engine algorithm is going to matter to your website, even if you've never really thought about investing time in search engine optimization before. Hopefully after this episode, you're going to start paying attention. As usual, I'm going to be giving hints and tips, so you might want to grab a pen and some paper or your notebook or get your phone out or whatever it is to jot some things down that you can then leave this podcast episode with to action on your own website. I will see you in a tick. In this episode, as I said before, I'm going to be talking about Google's next big search algorithm update known as Page Experience. And Google's actually given us all a year in advance to get ready for this update because it's going to impact how you appear in search engine results pages that much. So it's given us a year. So if Google's giving us that amount of time, we probably should be paying attention. So essentially, it's called Page Experience. So what the Page Experience update will include is ultimately it's all about delivering a better search experience for the end user, right? So it's all about user experience. Well, of course, I was totally inspired and excited when I heard about this update because I'm not normally that excited when Google announce a big update. In fact, they make hundreds of updates to their algorithm every single year. And occasionally they'll name them because they're that big. And search engine news websites, outfits like Moz, experts like Neil Patel and Ram Vishkin will pore over these updates and give us their expert opinion on how it's impacted search traffic. And this is normally something on the peripheral of my day-to-day reading, but with Page Experience, I was like, oh, right, this is going to matter, right? The way that a website's laid out, the way that a user interacts with it is going to impact on how your website appears in search engine results pages. And I am obsessed with ensuring that my own clients and my members in the Supercharger website membership optimize their own websites all the time for a better user experience. Because my background predominantly is in project management. And I ended up in my career moving more into a type of project management called Agile. And I was a scrum master. And what we're concerned about in Agile in particular is shipping something off to a user quickly, getting them to review how they feel about the feature or the new website or the app or whatever, giving us their feedback. And then we take on that feedback. We talk to a product manager about, you know, what we could include and what we couldn't include. And then we'll go and work on iterations and then over a 2-week period, update the feature app, website, whatever, and reship it out to the user. So we're always going through testing. So for me, optimization is a really important part of what I've always done for the past few years in software development and working at agency level. And I always wanted to bring that to my small business owners like you. Because I can see the benefit of testing and tweaking and just changing something on your website that could ultimately improve your sales. That's why I do what I do. And now that Google is saying to us that, you know, providing a better user experience where the user is delighted after using your website is going to impact on where you appear in search engine rankings it's time to pay attention. So if you're like really enjoying quite a high ranking for a particular keyword at the moment, right, you're on the first page of Google search results, that there is a risk that if you don't focus on the user experience of your website, you could lose that position, essentially. The other thing that we need to mention that Google's going to be including as well is combining something called Core Web Vitals with its analysis of your website. Now, don't run away, come back. I know that was a bit techie, but essentially what Core Web Vitals are how long it takes for your site to load, the performance, how fast it is to move around, and its stability as well. So ultimately, it's about your site speed, things not taking too long to load, and things working when you click on buttons, and it being stable, like your hosting is reliable and there's not kind of unexpected or annoying movement on your page content. And any of these things plus more, right, will kind of trigger up to, I think it's 200 signals that already exist in the Google search algorithm. Like there's 200 signals that already assess your website and decide how you're going to appear in search engine results pages. And site speed, interactivity, stability are all going to contribute to that. Like that is a given, we know this now. So it's vital, listeners, that if you want to remain Google friendly, but more importantly, user friendly, then you're going to have to do a bit of a site audit and review your own website way before the update is rolled out in May 2021 to see if there's a possibility that your search engine rankings could be impacted by the rollout when it happens. So the first thing that you can do for your website to see if it's going to make the grade is to analyze it for mobile search. It's official, mobile devices are generating more global website traffic than desktop. So if you haven't got a mobile friendly website, you're already being mildly penalized by Google, because it now kind of acts mobile first. But if you don't have any mobile website or a mobile version of your website, and so if someone is viewing your website on their phone and the text is very tiny, it's optimized for desktop, then you're going to lose out. If you do have a mobile website, but it's not very well designed, things like buttons and functionality being too close together, so if a user taps one thing, they run the risk of tapping something else on that page, isn't a great mobile experience, and Google will penalize you for that as well. Reviewing your site on mobile and as many different mobile devices as you've got access to, and if you don't, then you can utilize the developer tools on Chrome. There are tools online that you can use to review your website on different devices. The one I recommend is crossbrowsertesting.com, which tests, I think it's like over 2,000 different types of browsers and devices on your behalf. I think you could be safe in just testing on your own phone if you know it's a new model and it's got the latest operating system on there as well. But it's really important to think about whether the experience that you're looking at when you're looking at your mobile phone is one that your user will find delightful, right? Are they going to get annoyed when they go to your website on a phone? And things that could be annoying that mean the user has to click a lot or remove something is going to contribute to those signals that Google is going to pick up. The example I can think off the bat is having a pop-up appear as soon as your site loads on mobile, because that pop-up is going to take over the entire view of the page that the user's landed on. whether it's your homepage or a product page. And the fact that a user then has to interact and close that pop-up won't be a great user experience. So you're going to have to think about how you're using pop-ups on your site, especially when it comes to mobile. Can you delay when a pop-up appears, for example, so that there is a more logical experience for the user to make the decision to want to sign up to your email list? Because pop-ups normally contain email opt-in functionality that allows a user to sign up to your email list. So do review your site and be ruthless. If you have been using pop-ups in a lazy manner, because it kind of works for you, think about it from your user's point of view. You know, are you obstructing them from being able to go straight to the content that they want to go to because you've put a pop-up in the way? Chances are you could be penalized for that. Another thing that you can think about doing as well is reducing the amount of content on your page on mobile view. Now, some sites will allow you to create specific page layouts and templates for mobile view only, like WordPress, for example. And the theme I can think of is Divi, which is great. You can kind of really optimize what appears on mobile versus what appears on desktop. It's the same for Wix as well. That's pretty good. And the reason why I mention this is because we quite often design our websites, we do it in desktop, and then when you view your site on mobile, if you've got a lot of content on your page, it's going to take quite a long time to scroll because that content has been squished, if you like, into the kind of the thin viewing space that is your mobile, and all the content stacked on top of each other. What content could you remove from a particular page that you would like to rank quite highly for search engine results? It's tough, isn't it? That is a tough question to ask many. I, on my own website, heyvickyjakes.com, have a call to action banner to get people to sign up to my 5-day challenge. And then I have a newsletter sign up form underneath. And then I have a footer with useful links. That is it. And I was very deliberate with the design of that homepage because a lot of the traffic that comes to my site is just jumped straight through to blog podcast episodes or blog posts, useful blog posts that I've written. I don't feel the need to have to advertise those on the homepage. And so instead, I've kept the homepage quite light. So it loads quickly in mobile and ranks, I hope, highly because of that. So the question is, what can you remove from your homepage? Can you get a little bit lighter with your design? And in doing that, it's going to make you think harder. What's the one key call to action you can include on your homepage? Do you need lots of sections taking users off to lots of things around the site? Or could you just funnel them through to two or three key areas that you know they would find most useful? Review the functionality that you also have on the page that you'd like to improve for mobile view as well. If you have sliders on your page, chances are they're not going to make it past the page experience update without you getting penalized in some way. I have found that animated sliders on WordPress sites in particular slow them down, especially on mobile as well. And if that isn't enough to hear that from my experience of building hundreds of websites over the years, then actually reviewing over the shoulder in testing situations, remember, from my Scrum Master days, assisting with that, I was able to see users not interacting with animated sliders at all on mobile. We don't do it. Think about how you use the internet and how you view websites. When you see an animated slider on mobile, you don't stop and slide through the slides and look for the little arrows to click on. You scroll up and down with your thumb really quickly up and down the website. And so it's counterintuitive to expect that a user is going to go through your six slides of call to actions at the top of your website, just because you can't pick one thing to put at the top of the homepage with one call to action. So again, another challenge for you is, what's the one thing that you can direct a user to on your website that they will find the most useful without you putting six animated slides, taking them to six different areas around the website? So hopefully that gives you the inspiration to go off and check on your own mobile sites after you've listened to this episode. If you need a little bit more help, then I'll pop a link in the show notes to Google's mobile friendly test tool that you can find at search.google.com/test/mobile-friendly and put your website link in there and get some feedback from Google as to whether it thinks your web page is mobile friendly or not. The next up on the list for things you're going to have to think about come May 2021 is whether your site is fast or not. Google has said, according to the experts, that a delay of one full second in loading can decrease conversion rates on your site by 70%. Users get bored, we're lazy, we don't want to stay on your site, it's taking ages to load, and Google will penalize you for that. So the faster your website loads, the better experience a user will have, and the more likely Google is going to show you in search engine results pages for a particular keyword or key phrase. Now, I think that site speed is very closely intertwined with mobile speed, right? So when you're looking at site speeds, if your site loads fast on mobile, you're in a good place. If it loads fast on desktop but not mobile, you've got things the wrong way round. Taking on board like some of the things I was talking about in terms of improving your site for mobile search, like reducing the amount of content that you've got on a page, that will naturally speed your site up. Removing extra functionality, that will naturally speed your site up. Removing pop-ups, that will speed your site up too. Other things that you can think about are going to your hosting provider, and seeing if there is a faster package that your site could be hosted on. Ensuring that your images have been fully optimized and crunched down in terms of memory size, that they don't take ages to load. I can't tell you how many times someone has said to me, I have totally optimized my images and my site's still slow. And then I run their website through an online site speed test tool like gtmetrics.com and can see right there in the results that they still have like a 1 meg banner image on their website. And that's going to slow your site down. Ideally, in the industry, we want our sites to load around 4 seconds. That's the average. Anything beyond that is going to start to impact on whether users decide to stay. And it's also going to impact on whether Google shows you in search engine results pages. If you have WordPress, you could also think about utilizing a caching plugin like WP Fastest Cache or WP Rocket. I mean, there's lots out there. So do some research first and make sure whatever caching plugin you install is compatible with your theme and your version of WordPress. And also make sure that your host doesn't already offer this service, so you're not competing with functionality that they're already giving to you. But essentially what a caching plugin will do is enable the files on your site to load quicker in a user's browser, essentially. And your host could also enable other tech as well, like a content delivery network. It's called a CDN. You might have that with your hosting package and never knew what the button was. If you raise a ticket with your hosting provider or get on a chat with them and ask them, do I have access to a CDN? And if they say yes, get it switched on. That's essentially going to speed up the loading of files in between kind of servers in the back end of kind of how your site is loaded and delivered to users and users' browsers. So you try and utilize the kind of the infrastructure set up and the offers that your hosting provider might already have. Try and utilize, you know, caching tools. If you've got WordPress in particular, you can still install them yourself. I think if you're on Shopify, Wix, Squarespace, then they're already going to be offering that. But if you believe that your site is slow for any reason and you've done everything you can to speed up the loading by optimizing your images, removing unnecessary functionality, then raise a ticket with them and let them know. Remember, you are paying them for that service in the same way that us WordPress people are paying our hosts for hosting. So get on chat, raise a ticket and ask them, what could you do to speed your website up? And I just repeat this again, right? For me, the simplest way to speed my websites up was to remove unnecessary functionality, remove content actually from the pages, and for mobile in particular, just make them shorter so the user doesn't have to scroll as much. If you want to test the speed of your website, then there's a couple of tools I recommend. I will put into the show notes the Page Speed Insights tool that Google provides for free for you to test the speed of your site. I like to drop this link in the middle of my 5-day challenge and get people to test the speed of their websites without any explanation. I literally say, test your speed, post a screen grab in the chat, and then let us know how you feel about the results. And Google just gives this very broad, like green, amber, red score in the results. And it's very possible that when you've used this tool, you won't understand what Google's talking about. But what I would recommend is not worrying too much if you don't have a green score. Going away and optimizing the images on your website, adding caching tools, raising those tickets with your providers, your hosting providers, or your website providers, and seeing if they have advice, and just trying to see if you can aim around the amber score for sure, and focus on mobile when you see this report, not the desktop site speed. The final area that I want to talk about is design. So Google will understand and know if there is an issue with how things are laid out on your site. It's going to be looking at the user experience. So if you have things that are too close together, buttons that are too close together, elements that are too close together, if there is the possibility that when a user clicks on one thing, they might click on another thing by mistake, I think you're going to get penalized for that. You should definitely be considering a less is more approach with your site design. So again, this ties back to what I've been talking about with the first 2 points, with mobile optimization and with site speed, is what can you take away from the page but still have the most impact for the user? So you need to have crystal clear buttons that don't mislead the user, right? That if it says click here, then if a user clicks it, it goes somewhere, right? If there's no overlaying of things, because like of elements on the page, that when a user opens the mobile menu, it doesn't obscure some kind of key content. If a user is trying to close something down on your website, there needs to be like a really obvious like X to do that, or a close button, right? It's just really making the user experience like a pleasurable one, like delightful essentially. And I see quite quite often with like self-built websites, a lot of DIY websites, and I support this initially, is just you build it and get it out there so that you've got something live. But you do need to go through a process where you review each page after you've been live for a while and look at your Google Analytics data, look at your data to understand how long a user's spending on that page. Right. If it's not very long, you haven't made the page engaging enough. You haven't given links for the user to click around and go to other areas of the site. If you've got a high bounce rate of a page, that means a user is landing on it and then just closing down the site or the tab and not staying. Like the actual visit hasn't been logged. And the danger that you have is with your site, with any pages on your site, is the higher the bounce rate, the less interesting your site is. And Google cares about that. It wants you to deliver from its own words on its site. It wants you to deliver useful content to your users. And if they're not staying, either you've got a traffic issue, i.e. you're not driving like the right type of traffic to your website, or you've got an issue with how you've presented that content on your website. This is why having a blog is great, or a useful articles or a news section or whatever, because you're creating useful new news for your users all the time. This is why having lots of pages on your website with content that your user wants to read and find out more about is really good. One page websites aren't going to cut it. Even two or three page websites aren't going to cut it. You have to delight your user. You have to give them a reason to want to stay on your site. And if you've worked really hard to drive them to one page, what can you do to then ensure that they stay on your site and go to other pages? Understanding how your user uses your site is really important. Now, like I said, you could use Google Analytics to kind of understand that from a data point of view. You could install a kind of a tracking tool like Crazy Egg, which is a heat map tool. So it tracks where a user's mouse has gone around the screen when they've been on your site. And it's a great way of understanding if a user has tried to click on something quite a lot and not gone anywhere, or if there's an issue with them clicking on something that isn't a button. And actually, if they're clicking on something that isn't a button, but they think is, then you're kind of misleading them and you might run the risk of being penalized by Google. The other thing that you could consider doing is getting on a Zoom call or some type of screen sharing call with someone who is already a customer or someone who might be a customer, and actually recording the experience of them buying a product from you, or fulfilling the call to action that's on your website, and analyzing, looking at them as they're using your website and seeing if they get frustrated, if they're happy. Did they click quickly? Were things intuitive? Did their mouse go straight to an area that they thought they'd know what would happen with when they clicked? Or did they move their mouse around a lot and verbally say out loud, where do I go next? How do I do this? You need to give them a purpose, like an aim for the test that you're doing together. So please go and buy a product, or please sign up to my email list, or please book a call with me, whatever it is. And then just see if they can do that without too much friction. It's quite amazing what happens when you see someone actually using your website for the purpose it was intended for, because all your assumptions about how someone behaves and views your website go out the window. That thing you might be really attached to, they hate it. That pop-up that you think is really annoying, they didn't even mention it. Conversely, the pop-up that you thought was really awesome, they might say that's really annoying. But you can hear it firsthand from your user and see firsthand by looking at the behavior of them moving around your website on the screen. And if they've got their camera on, viewing them and how they react emotionally on their face to using your website is a super powerful way of knowing if what you're doing is right. And remember, right, this goes back to the Google page experience, right? Google wants a website that provides a great user experience. That's all it wants. It doesn't want to deliver search results for particular keywords or key phrases that don't result in that. it doesn't want to send people to crappy sites, right? So if you can invest some time, some research in understanding how your customers or your customers-to-be use your website, they could really take you to school. You might really learn a few things of what you need to do to improve the layout, the interactions, and the general user experience. And I'm not talking about brand or design or the pretty things like pictures. I'm talking about the actual interaction that a user has, their experience they have with using your site to fulfill the purpose that they have and that you have for them. And a few more points that I've picked up from the experts that I'll just kind of end this with is that it's my understanding that having a custom 404 page, so you know, the page that appears when someone goes to a link that doesn't exist, is actually rather than just having something that's like, you found the wrong page, is having a custom page that takes them back to a more useful part of your website. Ensuring that all of your images have alt tags, that's been touted by a lot of the experts, is still super important and even more important than ever come the page experience update in May. And ensuring that your navigation is simple, so not lots of subsections of your kind of website navigation. But I've always talked about that being really important, but the experts have said that that's a really big part of what's to come as well. So I hope you found this episode useful and not too scary, right? The point is, I'm recording this episode at the start of February 2021. We've got 3 to 4 months to get ourselves in gear, review our websites from a site speed point of view, from a mobile optimization point of view, and from a design and interaction point of view, to see if there are things that we can improve for the user to make them have a better user experience. I'm quite excited because in the Supercharger website membership this week, I'm going to be showing my members how to do an SEO audit. And I will be talking about that on the blog and YouTube soon. But you've had a head start with this episode, and I'll put all of the tools, the links to the tools that I mentioned in the show notes, and would love to hear how you get on with optimizing your websites. So feel free to reach out and DM me via Instagram. I'm also on Clubhouse quite a bit at the moment, doing a quick hit review session every Friday morning. And we're reviewing people's websites. If you want to come and chat about how to optimize your website for the upcoming page experience update, then feel free to join us. We'll be on Clubhouse at 10 a.m. this Friday, and you can find me with the username Hey Vicky Jakes, and I'll be doing that with Colette Stevenson, who will be giving her take on brand and color. As usual, if you enjoyed this episode, please take some time to head over to iTunes and drop us a review to let me know what you thought. And I will see you in next week's episode.